Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing Miss Marvel episode 4, Seeing Red. It's not that she's mad, it's just we'll talk about it. All that I'm worried with is that we have no control over.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And I'm Zahara Lee.
So- Sorry, I just get so excited when you're around because we get information that we did not previously have, and I like information.
Speaking of, I have some wonderful news. Mama Ali finally started watching the show, and Mama is always Ali! Like Wednesday, right? I'm like, yes, it's Wednesday, and actually now we're ganging up on my sister too because it's like both of us are watching. When are you gonna get on it? So the cool bit of information that I got, the second my mom saw Najma and Aisha, she was like, these are two very popular actresses in Pakistani dramas right now. I was very surprised when I saw them in this show. And I was like, oh, good to know. Very cool.
I thought you meant this show. Like, she's watching this, and I was feeling way worse about the dirty pre-talk banter. If you thought...
Oh, no. She's watching Miss Marvel. I'm sorry. No, I'm still trying to get her to, like, listen to the cast or watch the cast or something. Or at least the interview. Like, I haven't got my family to watch the interview yet.
My mom finally joined for the first time in some of the worst pre-show banter.
No. She's finally watching Miss Marvel.
She's watching this right now. Probably not anymore. Because we talked about only games.
There's a reason my phone's on Do Not Disturb. She's probably angry texting me. No, she's watching Miss Marvel. She flipped out when she saw the Pakistani actresses. She was super happy about that. And then I flipped out today when I saw one of my favorite Bollywood actors today, Farhan Akhtar. The red dagger with the beard.
Okay, so when you texted me earlier this week and you were like, my mom's watching and she let me know that these are like really big actresses, I was like, I was watching this episode. I was like, this Walid guy is like, he's probably somebody that's important in overseas cinema. So I was like, let me do a little Googling. And then like, as I come across the Google, like there's just tons of pictures of him just freaking ripped, like crazy strong looking dude. Like my Lord, this man is a specimen. Like, where has he been?
Yeah, man, you got to be fit for those Bollywood numbers.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. All the dancing and the stuff that he was doing in this episode when he was fighting in the smoke and everything. Like,
yeah,
that man has got to be fit to be flipping around like he did
for sure. No, I mean, just like with his choreography flips, I was flipping out when I saw him. It was super exciting.
Which character was he? The first Red Dagger that we met?
He was the bearded Red Dagger.
The older guy.
Oh, the older Walid. Guy. Okay.
Yeah.
The guy who was teaching her about the dimensions. Yeah.
The guy who seemed like the like wise old mystic, but turned out to be like the badass fighter.
Yeah, for sure. I loved that we got a little bit of exposition about what dimensions are, or what realms or dimensions are, or whatever. It's getting so confusing because they use these terms sort of interchangeably. Realms, dimensions.
Yes. Yeah. I wanted to quote Jane Foster.
Yeah.
Whenever he was like, it's a different realm. I was like, realms? Realms?
They're still trying to figure it out.
Stay realmed.
That's a nice callback to that, to Young Justice and the Animation Deliberation podcast.
Is that my sign off for this show now?
I guess so.
It's realm for AD, realm for here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Stay realmed. This is when the veil of Noor has been torn down between MCU cast and Animation Deliberation. Normally, they're very separate.
I mean, speaking of that, we got, like, our first bit of, like, villainry in the last episode. It's really cool how this one's not only expanding kind of, like, who the Jinn are and why all this is important, but, like, it feels like we have stakes now. It feels like this veil of Noor is actually what's like stopping our
villains
from taking over. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the fact that like there's been this split from like the people on Najma's side who are trying to break the veil, and the people on Aisha's side who are like now like guarding it, like this Iron Curtain is just it's cool seeing like what actually is on the line. You know, we love how adorable Kamala is and just everything about her, but now we're getting the big picture of like how this really blends into the MCU.
Yeah, and yeah. Not only are the stakes there, but also the scope of the story going to Karachi, and then also at the same time we get this damage control facility, and so it just seems like it really is like a world globe trotting sort of story now, as opposed to what we've seen up till now, which has just been like a small city in New Jersey, and mm-hmm. and like just stayed there, you know, and now it's going all over the place, and I love that. I love that it's starting to feel like it makes the world feel bigger when you see these, you know, these kids sitting on the whatever on the beach playing guitar and eating whatever that food is out of bag. What was it called?
Biryani.
She
was right to be worried. I have like the one time I had biryani, that shit lit me up. It set my ass on fire.
The first time I had, oh dude, so many flashbacks because I've only visited Karachi once since I moved to the States. So it's like her whole experiences were so relatable. I'll get into that. But the first, like,
why didn't you warn me? This is death.
Panipuri is amazing, but it will kill you. But the first like family dinner that I went to, they were like, we know you're American, so we didn't make it too spicy for you. And I took the first bite of Nihari. I was like, this is your not spicy. What is wrong with you?
Do you people hate yourselves?
And then, of course, like I was being offensive by like sitting with the men at the table and not finishing my food and not eating more like the hosts were doing. I was like, guys, I can only have none. Like I physically cannot make contact with my tongue right now on this. It is so freaking spicy.
I love good spicy food, kind of from that region and stuff, but like,
good for you.
I am like genetically, well, no, not the real stuff, like the Americanized version of spicy, but
whitewashed.
It always makes me so, it makes me sad because I feel like I am genetically disposed to, if I eat the really spicy stuff, it's like 4 days of terror. Just like,
why is your hot and sour soup red? Like, did you guys find a way to whitewash it Chinese food too? Shots fired.
So good.
Oh, God.
Oh, that one cousin is such a jerk about it. It's like, does your ABCD butt not know how to do this? And she's like, ABCD stands for, like, I know what it means. I'm like, that got me.
That guy, that got me. Like, it was, like, that was funny. It was, or rather, that was kind of like, I mean, it was funny, sort of, what he was saying, but, like, I just felt more like, this guy's just a prick. This guy's just straight up a prick. Like,
yeah.
The way that, like, she made a really great joke when he was like, the old town is where the oldest residents are. Like, here's where the oldest residents are. And she's like, oh, like Florida.
he just gave the side eye.
He just stares at her like, you idiot. Like,
yeah, ABCD is one of my favorite terms.
What was it again?
American-born confused Desi. Desi is like a generic term for like Pakistanis and Indians, so just okay. From that part of the world.
Gotcha.
So if you're an ABCD, you're born here and confused about like the culture that you're from, and if you're a FOB, then you're fresh off the boat.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So, yeah, I think this episode turned out really well. I really liked the action sequence was super fun on both of them. The one where it's sort of play fighting in the train station, but also the fighting through the streets, using her powers to, you know, like make that thing ramp up the thing. She seems to have really, like, I don't know how long it's been since she decided to go to Karachi versus, you know, being there now, but like, it seems like she's really got a handle on her powers to some degree.
Well, I mean, before meeting Kamran, mm-hmm. I forgot his name for like the briefest of moments. Before meeting Kamran, she was having like daily training with Bruno, just kind of like understand where her power comes from and understand how to control it. From what it seemed like, I mean, she had, like I said in the chat when we were doing the group watch, like she's had a training montage. It's fine.
Yeah. A training montage covers all.
Yeah.
it just seems like she's like significantly better than what she was doing at the kitchen fight or whatever. It was great, but she like. Yeah. Has really gotten better.
Yeah. She seems to be doing more of the, like, making the hard light into larger, you know, kind of shifting how the embiggening works, from the comics and the video games, and just being like, well, it's the light, the hard light shaping into what she knows, which is a big fist. Like,
Yeah.
Bigger the fist, the harder the punch, right? Obviously. So like, that's what she knows. That's what she's doing. And like, it makes sense. I like it. I like the way that they've done it to where it's still like paying homage to her powers from the comics, but doesn't look just directly like a ripoff of Mr. Fantastic.
Mm.
That's the goal. And now they're like, her uniform's coming together a little bit too.
It is.
She found the kurta in the market and she was trying to like bribe with it, which 500 rupees is like $5. So the fact that they were like $2 or $5 was really funny. And he said poncho and she was like 1,300. Like, trying to put her in English together. It's so cute. She's like, I give up. Here you go. And then Waleed presenting like the vest part of it.
Oh,
like,
you God, can see yes.
all those. She's already got the mask. Like, she's getting little pieces by herself, like from the red daggers, from her best friend, from her home city. Like,
yeah.
The fact that it's part of everything that represent her coming together. Because we talk about like how there's so many facets to this and how many people that she's representing. And the fact that she's getting a little bit of each that to make her uniform is really, really cool.
Yeah.
I love when he was giving it to her, he was like, there is history in every fiber, every thread of this fabric. I was like, oh, that's so deep.
Yeah, well, it's really representative too of the thing she's talking about with it to her grandmother. Like, her grandmother's like, I'm still trying to figure out who I am. I like started on one side of the border, and then I take my identity, but from these borders that were drawn by Englishmen, you know, like, like, what does that mean? Like, I identify as this thing that was created for me to identify as. I don't. Yeah. What does that mean for my life and who I am and who do I want to be? And it's she's still figuring out that. And I think that's what Kamala's figuring out. And just like what's her best friend's name? Not Bruno, but
Nakia. I was watching The Boys recently.
Just like Nadia was saying, how she...
Nakia!
Ah, damn.
I screwed it up for everybody. I'm sorry.
Sorry. No, you're good. I wanted to do it again just to mess with you. I'm sorry. and then I was like, I'll just waste time, but then I didn't say it. And then Nakia, in that previous episode, talked about how she finally put on the hijab and was like, it's part of me. You know, I am this, but I'm also this. And I think her building her outfit is a representation of her finding who she is and taking bits of all these different parts of her life, her culture, who she is, who her friends are, where her power comes from, the thing that she was sort of born to defend, which seems to be this veil. So like all of that sort of combined to become the thing that she is.
Yeah. Well, like if you look at the costume, I guess, that she's wearing now, or like when she was running through the streets, like the red shirt that she had was AvengerCon. That's her fandom as the base of it.
Mm-hmm.
I hope she always has that on under it. That'd be great.
Yeah. Like, if that's her baseline, that would be awesome. And then she's got the vest that she got from the Pakistani people. And like, she got the mask from her friend Bruno, like her white friend Bruno, who is, you know, kind of the pseudo family, you know, so to speak. And like she's collecting all of these pieces, all of these little bits of her identity to make herself. We're watching her build herself at this point. It's so great. And I love the parallels. There's the parallel of Nakia like having her history but being American, half white, half Pakistani. Like, she's got those identities. But then the Nani, the grandmother, was saying, like, my passport says Pakistani, my roots are Indian, and in between them there is a border of blood and pain. And then there's the parallel from that to the genetics of being a djinn or a clandestine or whatever from that other dimension, but you're American, you're, you know, this from this realm, you're born here, and the in between them is that barrier, that veil, that border, that if it is broken, if it is opened, will unleash blood and pain on everyone as our world is destroyed.
Even more than if it's unleashed, it's also like a constant war is apparently being waged about that border, about that veil.
Exactly, so yeah.
This blood-covered veil, yeah.
I love it. I love the parallels between all of those things. Like, the show is, like, for being a show about a high school girl in the Marvel realm. It is so deep.
Bro, you thought Peter Parker had problems?
Yeah, right? Like, girl trouble, am I right?
Try doing all of that without fast regeneration and no Peter Tingle.
And her knees hurt. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And then she threw the knife. She went to throw the dagger. And she just chucks it on the ground.
Dude, she picked it up. I was like, there's no way she's gonna. Okay, that's right.
Yeah. I love that she pulled it off of her hand, like, yeah, I got this. And he's like, come on. Do the thing. End your own life. Come on.
He knew exactly what she was gonna do there. She's so funny. Waterfall Angel brings up a point here. In Nani's art studio, it definitely looked like a painting slash drawing of the other dimension that Kamala saw when she first put on the bangle. What's interesting about that is, you know, we talked about that in the first episode. Like, what is this dimension that she sees when she flips upside down and everything? Mm-hmm. Do we think now that that is probably the dimension of the Djinn, and that is like this other plane? Yeah,
absolutely. So, yeah, that when they did the when Waleed was showing her like the representation of the Noor Vale,
between the two worlds,
there was our world with all the like rigid structured cities and whatnot, and the then spires. On the other side. There were the twisted spires and like very organic shapes.
That's what the background looked like when she flipped upside down in that first episode. So yeah, I think that's really good call. Thanks, Waterfall.
I love that.
I didn't notice that in the drawings. But does that mean now? Do we know that Nani has been to that world, or has she
gets the visions?
Right. I know she gets the visions, but I guess like most of the visions we've seen her have been like of this world. You like to train or whatever. I guess maybe she gets visions that Aisha had as well. I don't know.
Well, we talked about in the first episode about how like the bangle potentially just unlocks your power and it's not technically the source of power. So if Nani has had it all this time and she's worn it, she probably has powers and has that connection to the other realm. Mm-hmm. So that way, whenever Kamala feels it, because the Red Daggers even talk about how they like they feel the essence of the Noor and stuff, so she has that connection as well, and I feel like that triggered power and the fact that she's a djinn is what helps her like see into the other dimension or see through like Aisha's memories or Aisha's vision.
The hilarious thing here is that like Nani doesn't look that old, but she walks with a cane and like has really bad knees because she has powers and was using them and hurt her knees a lot, like Kamala has.
Right? Throw the mic without the helmet too many times.
Too many times. She was being a hero and has bad knees now because of it.
all heroes need canes.
Dude, that would be such a cool superhero, though, if she was just like helping people like through the partition. Like, as a hero.
Yeah. Well, and that's what it looks like
we're getting set up for that.
It looks like Kamala has traveled through time. I don't want to, it appears. It could be an elaborate vision that she's having.
Here comes Matt with the time travel.
But like the way that the episode settled out made it look like
right now.
Well, no, like yeah, back up, Zoo. We're going to argue about time travel for a minute. But no, do you think that's just a vision, or do you think she is settling into the past? Is she in the past right now?
I absolutely think that she is at the train station on the night that her Nani was separated from her family, and she's going to be the one to lead her back.
That's right.
I think it's going to be like
Prisoner of Azkaban.
What was it? Lovecraft Country. Was it Lovecraft Country?
Happens in Lovecraft.
When they went into the past and...
It's in almost every time travel thing.
Okay, so, you know, yes. they heard the story about, like...
Spoiler alert for Lovecraft Country. It's a great show and not many people
have seen it. It is an amazing show.
So if you don't want to be spoiled, skip forward 30 seconds.
Yeah, like, they keep getting the story of, like, guy showed up with the bat, and then they're, like, they get to that time frame. It's like, oh, okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing that we've been talking about. Let's wait and watch what happens. And then it's like, oh, it's not happening.
Yeah, they're waiting on the guy to show up with the bat, and he realizes it's him.
Oh, it's me.
I am the guy with the bat.
I'm the guy. So Kamala is the Trail of Stars.
Yeah, that's super fun.
Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah, It's everything. It's 12 monkeys.
It's time travel. Oh God, 12 monkeys.
It's 12 monkeys. It's the freaking
Looper.
Looper for sure.
It's all the time travel.
I mean, that's the fun of time travel things is the being able to interact with your past. And so I definitely think she's going to be, I mean, she does make little stars. I said this since the first episode, so I feel proud. I called this shit.
Of course she makes little stars. All of her stuff is Captain Marvel themed.
True.
She has an embroidery patching or threading or whatever on her knee on her jeans that everybody hated at the boat club. That pretentious bullshit.
I mean, speaking of all the potential time travel stuff, like I was already like very emotional during this episode because God, do I miss my nanny, and all those interactions just reminded me of her. But like because of what my mom told me about how my nanu doesn't talk about the partition because it was like a difficult time and he had to go through it twice and this and that, like when that scene hit and you saw people saying like just take my kid or where is my kid, God. Or I'm you see people like travel. Sitting on the top of the train and then in front of the train, because this is like a few days journey if not like hours at a time, so it's like they're going to be sitting there for a while. And it was just really painful to watch. And after hearing that this is something that my family has gone through, it was like, whoa, this is a powerful depiction right now.
Yeah. My God. Like I didn't expect to be hit so hard by seeing that you can feel the tension in the air in that scene, especially when like, she's on top of the train and the camera zooms way out and you see there's more trains. There's more trains and every single one of them is packed to the brim with people.
Yeah.
And they are just throwing more stuff up. Like, take the stuff. You know, I'll figure out a way to get out of here, but you got to take the stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I'm too old to travel. Take my money. Like, oh my God. Oh.
So many, it's a thing we don't learn about here. And so, yeah. It's crazy to see this like historical event depicted in a like in such a high budget way and like a sort of realistic way, I guess. And you just think about like every one of those people. You see a mob of people like that while you're also thinking about Kamala's story and her grandmother's story and this little girl in this sea of people. And you have to think about like every one of these people, this throng of people that's rushing the train. Every one of them has their own story. You know what I mean? Like, they're all people dealing with this thing. And it just seems like so much tragedy, you know?
Yeah. Like, it's so much shared tragedy with all of those people having, like, they've got their own unique stories and their own, you know, like they said in, what, the first episode, everyone has a partition story. Every family has a partition story. But, like, there is that one, you know, unifying event that
right
brings all of them together. So it's kind of that shared trauma, but unique, you know, it's a different facet of the overall event that we still, you know, learned nothing about in American history classes.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just glad that I retained like some stuff from religious education classes, like our Sunday school that we had on Saturdays, because that's where I learned all this. It wasn't from stories and stuff. And like, sometimes one of my cousins, he's like, how do you, did you pay attention in REC? I'm like, sometimes, like just random facts will stick in my head. And I'm glad that I can share those random things with you guys now.
I'm very glad that something stuck. Oh God, there's so much more time travel shenanigans. Matt, are you ready for Aisha to leave the past and go with Kamala to the future or to the present?
That's
why she disappeared in the middle of partition.
That's
because
a good
she
call.
Came to now. And oh God, yes! We get the other part, the other view of, you know, all those time travel stories where somebody like disappears for a while and you follow them, like they disappear for 50 years, whatever, and come back and it's like, oh, the world's a different place. And like, oh, we've heard stories about you, but now you're back. That's weird. There was a time frame, there was a time period where that person did not exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, everybody who knew them had to give up on them coming back for however long. So that's like, if this pans out like that, that's what we have seen with Aisha, is that she disappeared completely from everyone's lives. They have given up on her. And if she comes back, if she comes back looking exactly like she did back then, and Nani gets to meet her as adults, or Nani's older than her now.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I love that.
Oh God, it's going to be so emotional.
I love that stuff. I also got to say, like, the other bangle. So Aisha left to look for the other bangle, right? Like, that's what she ran in that direction to do, I think, at one point when we last saw her. Weren't they still looking for the other bangle and the other group left? Yeah, I think
they were splitting up because the troops were coming in.
Right.
Yeah, they had to get out of there. All I remember is that they were like, there were always two, weren't there? Question mark.
Right.
So,
well, and they say we need to do what we have to do to open back the portal or whatever. We need two.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You don't know what happens if you use one. Like, it's going to be scary. She's like, even just one will be enough.
Where's the other severed arm?
What if this 80 years they've been looking for the other bangle, they couldn't find it because it jumped past those 80 years with Aisha?
Yep.
Like the clandestine have been like frustratingly looking for the bangle, and it was on Aisha's arm when she jumped and came to the future. I don't know, possibly.
Yep.
We have a little feedback here from Pioneer Snail on Twitch says, but that is not how Marvel time travel works. Per Hulk, you can't go back and have that become your future after leading to the train. That is what Banner said. That is true. That is what Banner said. And that is how it worked in Avengers. But I've always contended, because I'm a Star Trek fan, and Star Trek has had so many time travel episodes, that it always works differently. My theory is that different forms of time travel can work differently. So, like, maybe this sort of magical time travel that she just did might work differently than something that's done through physics. It could, because sort of like he said, in Loki, they talk about how this was always supposed to happen. The other, like, that Hulk idea that, like, you can't become your own grandpa or whatever, right? Okay, there's other reasons for that. But the grandfather paradox is a paradox. But the other thing about that is, like, the 12 monkeys rule is, like, you can go back and do a thing as long as that thing always happened on the timeline.
Right.
There's another view of time. That time is just the fourth dimension, and you're looking at a snapshot of the entirety of time, and that little thing, that little wrinkle in time always happened.
It's a cross-section.
Yeah, it's not necessarily illogical, as Banner said it.
I'm down with that, except that...
Down with the sickness?
Yeah. Except that Cap, Rogers, Steve Rogers went back, and then just kind of rode the wave until he showed up in the present. However, there is something from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And Loki that support this, is that the timeline is always trying to write itself and trying to, you know, the flow is there, and it's you throw something in the way and it might make a ripple and flow around it, but it's always going to go back to what it was supposed to be or what it was going to be. So her going to the past, like, yes, the things might happen. She might affect things a little bit differently, but as long as the end result is that Nani got to the train, is going to be fine. I don't think the TVA is going to show up and be mad.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Or, yeah, sure. And it could be that is always in the sacred timeline, as it were.
Yeah, yeah.
That wrinkle is always in there. Is that loop always happens.
Yeah, we've always been experiencing that, like, farthest branch of the... of all of those things have already happened. Like, they've already gone back to make that happen.
Yeah, yeah.
What if she's hiding in the TVA?
Oh, God. I should get taken as a variant.
Please.
No, she's just in that realm. The time's not infected. And she's like, I'm just going to hang out here. No one's
gonna find she's me. Like, just chilling, you know. Chilling right here. It's cool.
No problem. I'm just chilling back here.
I'm just hanging out. Do you have any biryani?
I wanted to bring this up, and Waterfall Angel brought it up in the chat. What you seek is seeking you. And Jess said, yes, it made me think Aisha is seeking her, Jessica Mai. And I feel like that's, like, the case. I feel like that is what that line meant. Like, the two bangles are seeking each other, and, you know.
Or, I mean, I like the literal idea of the two bangles are seeking each other, but I think that Aisha is trying to find a way to get back to the world from, you know, like, she disappeared. She's trying to find a way back. Unless it's she's come to the future from the past or come to the present from the past.
Right. Like, I think it's the Kamala seeking answers and
yep. the answers are coming from you too.
Is seeking, am I saying her name wrong?
Aisha. It's Aisha.
Aisha.
Aisha is the golden lady that makes Adam in Guardians 2.
Okay, gotcha. I grew up with an Aisha, so when I see that name, that's what I think.
No, you grew up watching Moesha.
So Aisha is seeking the bangle, the other bangle. What if this bangle that her mother grew up having isn't even the bangle that Aisha had?
Well, you know what I mean? Waleed said every story about that bangle that we have heard did not say anything about an inscription on it.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. So what if, like, the bangle, they were looking for a second bangle. What if Aisha still has the other bangle, and this bangle was not passed down? This bangle was found some other way. It found its way to Nani, and now it's been passed down to Kamala.
Or when they split up, Aisha just found it and gave it to Nani so that it's, like, protected within the family, and she has a second one, the one that she found with Najma.
Yeah, something like that.
I like that.
Yeah, especially since the inscription's there that apparently isn't on the other version.
Yeah. Oh, man. If her great-grandmother, if Aisha is a legend with the Red Daggers, there's got to be more to what, like, her story, basically. Like, we're gonna see that. We're going to see that next episode. I'm looking forward to that a lot.
Yeah, like, how did she contribute to, like, the birth of the Red Daggers?
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's gonna be so, like, cool.
Somebody brought to my attention, I've been looking into this a lot, about how there is, like, so, like, there's part of Assassin's Creed, the game, that's actually accurate. Like, there was a faction of, like, Ismaili Muslim assassins that were, like, feared around the world and basically, like, dictated how, like, events would happen. Ooh. Because they would just kill who they thought was irrelevant and threaten who they needed power from. So I like the fact that there's actually this faction based off that's actually controlling, like, how the world works and what's being guarded and protected. And it's just like, whoa.
That was the first Assassin's Creed, right?
Yeah. Or so the timeline that I'm thinking of is a little bit after that.
Okay.
I'm forgetting the imam's name. I think it was Imam al-Moyes. But it was a really cool history thing that someone brought to my attention, because, like, we talk about all the culture stuff and the development stuff. Like, had I known that I have ancestors that were, like, the most feared assassins in the world, that would make sense why I train with swords 3 times a week. Like,
it's in your blood.
It's in my blood.
I can't get away from this.
Where, like, was that in REC, guys? Like, maybe I would have enjoyed showing up to class had I known about all that stuff. I didn't want to know about all the... I mean, frankly, I did. In hindsight, I did. But I'd, like, all the religious history stuff was cool, but, like, where was all the cool war stuff? That's important.
You end up cutting off a finger, and you're like, oops, it feels right. This feels right.
Where did you learn to play with those swords? Ninja Turtles?
Assassin's Creed, actually.
Oh, man. All right.
Oh, God. So, speaking of the Red Daggers, that guy...
Ninja Turtle.
The Ninja Turtle, yeah. The younger guy with the, like, the sexy undercut that he had going.
Oh.
Like, the undercut with the long hair. He looks exactly like he does as costumed here in the comics, lifted straight out of comics.
Oh, yeah. I've seen him on covers, actually. When I saw him show up, I was like, is that the guy I've seen in?
Yeah, he is a Pakistani hero in comics called Red Dagger. Like, that is his name. And interesting fact, he is on the supplemental roster, if you can call it that, like, basically the backup roster for the team, the Champions, that Kamala is a large part of.
Oh, nice. Uh-huh. That's very
cool. I wonder
if
Gamron's going to end up helping the Red Dagger since
he got basically ditched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
He was even like, mommy?
He said, mommy? And she's like,
he's definitely going to end up helping out Kamala in some way. Like, if it's through the Red Daggers or not, like, he's definitely joining the fight again, I think.
But, like, he's been born through the clandestines trying to find, like, their way home, right? So it's like, what does he know about, like his purpose in life outside of that. So if he loses his family and lose these people that are like hundreds of years old, that's all he's never known. This mission is all he's ever known. Like the Red Dagger seemed to be a perfect way to like give him a purpose in the future.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He's what, 17?
Yeah, yeah. He's 17.
That's a relief.
He seems to be much the same way that Kamala is, in that he's born from these people, but he's the halfsies, right?
Yeah.
Like he's the
odd legend.
Yeah, he
that means half.
Yeah. He's the Nakia, you know? He's got both worlds. His passport says this realm, but his genetics say the other one, the Nora realm or whatever. It sounds like there may be some potential there for him to maybe like start finding friends who are descended from people from other realms that maybe not quite human. So maybe perhaps inhuman.
But they're not really descended from other realms, right? Are you just saying that would might be
in the MCU
version?
That could be.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm saying like that could be the translation.
Okay, I dig it.
And then they all find that Ensign Mount is their king.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, any of the last things y'all want to touch on before we finish up this cast?
Yes. Two things. Aesthetic things. Something I didn't notice on first watch because I was watching it on the TV. That I did notice when I had my headphones on when I was watching it the second time around. The music in the beginning of the episode, like when they were doing the Marvel Studios scroll, has a part that's, it seems to be like being pulled between both sides of your head, basically. Like the sound, the music is like oscillating between left and right, which kind of like, after having seen the part with the Nor Vale and the two separate worlds on either side, knowing that Kamala and maybe possibly also Kamran are being pulled between these two, that it kind of like it gave that feeling.
Elicits that for sure. Yeah,
it elicited that feeling, and I was like, "Ooh, that's a I like that parallel."
That like violin, the call. Song sounded really familiar too, but I haven't had a chance to like look into if it's something that I know. There was, I can't remember what the song was now. There was a few that I recognized, but one that I geeked out over. And I was gonna like look it up again just so I could sing it, because Katie Rose reached out. She was like, I want a whole version of you singing that other song. And I was like, old Bollywood songs are 8 minutes long, so I respectfully declined. And I was like, oh, this one's shorter, I could do that. But now I'm forgetting what it is, so sorry Katie, just for you, I'll record that and send it to you later.
So cute.
But I guess the last thing, just kind of like personal experience wise, was like my first time at that airport, and when they were in the plane and before they even landed, like everybody was getting out and getting their stuff in the flight. I was like, sit back down. I was like, yep, that sounds accurate.
So he's like, that checks all the way out.
Yep. Pakistani International Airlines has the most garbage planes. I highly recommend you avoid flying them at any means possible. So the fact that they were doing that did not surprise me one bit. And then when they landed and like all the commotion and everything, when they came out and their, you know, cousins greeting them, like I just remember like getting off the plane and then like fighting with immigration for the longest time, because apparently like my Pakistani residency card has like expired, so they were trying to send me back to Dubai. I was stuck for like 2 hours trying to figure that out, and then finally like saw my aunt, because like everybody has to come pick you up, right? It's not just like one person brings the car, because everybody has a driver and everybody has a maid. So like the nanny has a driver that comes and picks you up. That's why nanny was there. And then the cousins, back to me first. So being able to see everybody, and then I saw my nanu in the corner, but like my nanny actually was at home. She couldn't sleep either, but like she didn't want to make the trip so that we had more space in all the cars.
Aw, sweet of her.
Going back, and you know, nanny's just sitting on the dining table when I first walked in. Mind you, like my mom hadn't seen her mom since she moved to the States, and that's when I was 3. So this is 95. It was 2015 that my mom finally got to see her mom again. We hung out with them for a month, and then she passed away from cancer like a year later. Like she was diagnosed after we left. So like our timing for being there was beautiful. So when Kamala's mom was like, you know, your nanny is very old, she's telling us to come, we should just go, I was like, yes, please, just go. Because Like, my nanny is the only one that called on every birthday. She called because she hadn't heard from us for a while. She always wants to check in. Like, not getting those calls on birthdays and holidays is just super depressing. She's like the only person I think, or her birthday's coming up soon too, actually. So like, this whole interaction was cool. It was fun seeing my nanu like at the airport, and he was just like messing around with us. And yeah, that whole experience of seeing Buxton for the first time and walking through those markets and trying to do the bargaining, which is very difficult.
Yeah, I'm not good at that. I'm not good because I just want to like, I want to be generous and I don't want to be like an asshole, but also I know that's the culture. I know they're probably setting prices too high. Okay.
Yeah.
Zoo, tell them about animation deliberation real quick. We're about to run out of battery.
Animation deliberation, we're talking about Baymax, a new show that just came out. It's 6 episodes. They're very short series. We're going to talk about all of it. Just listen to our show and you'll find out more about stuff then.
Okay. Awesome. Sorry. we've just found my computer is dying, everyone. And, so yeah, thank you for joining us. We'll be back very, very soon on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. We got feedback episodes coming, and we got other things coming this week. Me and Jeff are going to do a news and feedback thing, I believe, and we'll be back soon. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Stay realmed.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.